This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. We are glad to be with you on a Friday of more great sports action. The rest of the Sweet 16 games coming your way. A little more Major League Baseball, not everybody playing today, but some games are today. I'm hoping to be able to watch the Texas Rangers today. Tommy, did you see what's going on with MLB TV yesterday?
No, I didn't. I mean, were you able to get in?
Oh, my goodness. Like, they had a massive outage for about an hour.
Oh, wow. Like, no, I missed that.
So we're sitting there with it yesterday, and before the game starts, I've got it on. We're watching. I got the Royals up because, you know, we have cable in the newsroom, and I'm watching it. One of our producers, who's a huge Twins fan, comes over and he's like, "Oh, are you able to watch that?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's been fine." He's like, "I can't get it to pull up." And I was like, "Well, let me see if it's just the Twins feed." So I click over there and it doesn't work. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's not working for me either." And I try to go back to the Rangers game and I get the spinny wheel of death. And I'm like, "Oh no." And he's like, "I'm so sorry." I'm like, "It's okay. It's not your fault." And so I do a quick search. Yeah, they were out. Mm. Like, they were out at the beginning of the games, probably until the third or fourth innings of most of them. And people were losing their minds. And I'm like, yeah, you thought Netflix had it bad? Try being the league that can't get its product to people on opening day after it makes them pay like $150 for it.
It's not cheap to be an MLB TV subscriber. Woo! So I would be mad too. I mean, I guess that's one benefit, I guess, of the Royals. Like, we can't watch them through MLB TV. I was watching the Royals through FanDuel Sports Network. And so I didn't have, like, the Braves and Royals were playing at the same time. So I didn't have both games on. Otherwise, I would have been on MLB TV, and I wasn't.
Oh, you wouldn't have been watching the beginning of that game.
Oh, yeah, true.
I was just like, what a lot like that. How would you like to be in whatever room that is where it's opening day? And you're like, Mr. Manfred, I got some bad news. All those people that are paying $150 to watch baseball, they can't watch it right now. You know, it'd be one thing if it was like July 27th and they had an outage and it was like, all right, yeah, whatever, I'll go do something else. No, this is opening day. Like, you've got everybody playing hooky or sneaking away in to try and watch it at work or whatever it is that they're doing. And like, why? I paid $150 for this. Oh, man, it was bad. And it took a while. Like, it was pretty – it took about an hour, I think, for them to get in. And
think they'll give any refunds? Because I can't imagine they'll give any refunds.
Yeah, we need one fraction.
It's like that'd be about a dollar, right? I mean, it's $150, 162
less, yeah.
games. Give me a dollar back. Like, let me go get a McChicken or something with that.
Yeah. It's just, oh man. And of course their social media, which I'm sure all this stuff is scheduled. How are you watching today? Where are you watching today? And everyone's like, we're not, jackass. We can't watch your expensive app. It was funny. It wouldn't have been funny if they didn't get it back on, but you know, they eventually did and we got there. The way that the Royals are going to be watched is kind of the same as it has been. We haven't really talked about this. This is really cool this year. KWCH and KSCW, we're broadcasting 10 Royals games this year. We have 10 games on the air. Isn't that wild? Next Sunday's day game will be on broadcast television.
I love it.
Through local TV.
I love
local
it.
TV.
Tony Dusing, our operations manager, and I were talking about it yesterday about how, at least for now, I think eventually it's going to change with Major League Baseball. It's going to have to change through collective bargaining, all of that. But, you know, it's really difficult for people in Wichita to be able to consume the Royals for free. Like, really difficult. You can do it on KFH on the radio, through the Odyssey app, so you can get the audio for free, but at least watching it outside of, you know, what KWCH and KSCW are doing, you have to have a subscription, and blacked out. Like, you've got to have a cable subscription, you've got to have, you know, do this Prime Video add-on or MLB TV or whatever it is, and there are blackouts and there are all these other things. It's really hard for a town 3 hours away, 3 hours away from Kansas City to be able to consume these games.
And it is a problem for baseball, too, by the way. Like, it's a wide-ranging problem, though. I don't know. I love, and we've seen this some with the NBA, too. We aired Oklahoma City Thunder games this year on the KSCW. I don't know that any of those made it. But, like, it would be super cool if some of these games on the more, you know, the NFL will never do this, but for basketball and for baseball, if local television's able to pick up some of these packages and sort of like college sports, it's like, well, what channel are they playing on today? Like, we're used to doing that.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Like, oh, today's game's on ESPN or today's game's on local TV and you know, I think it's doable because the broadcast teams are more a part of the organization than they are these networks they work for. Like, you saw everybody that's still on the Royals broadcast. They just had FanDuel Sports Network mic flags, right? Like, it's not like anything changed.
Right.
So, yeah, I think breaking it up probably makes some sense for baseball, or Major League Baseball just takes it all on themselves. And that's where you see something like you saw yesterday, like, well, that ain't going to work. But not everybody wants to pay $150 to get all the games. Then you might just want all the Royals games. And so trying to figure out a way to do that for teams. And then there's the other part of it. You think the New York Yankees or the Dodgers want to have the same deal that the Royals have?
Absolutely not. They make so much more money on their own network.
And that is what makes it difficult, I think, for baseball. Like, what is it? I think in the end, like, you just don't black out MLB.TV. And you've got it solved. And I think that I think at some point, if you're Major League Baseball, you just have to tell the networks, like, look, guys, I know that, you know, you want exclusive rights and you want blackouts. But if somebody's willing to pay that kind of money to watch games, we're not blacking them out anymore. We're not going to do that, because I don't know this, Tommy, but I would imagine that there aren't a lot of people that carry a Cox subscription, for example, just so that they can have Royals games. Like, I think if you didn't black people out through MLB.TV, you'd have more people do MLB.TV and you'd have no less people get that network, however it is that they get it, whether it's through DirecTV or Cox or whatever it is, AT&T. I don't think that's going to impact that. We're not making our TV subscription decisions based on that. We're just not.
Yeah, one of our great listeners, Chris, hit us up on X, and he says that he's an MLB TV subscriber. He's a Dodgers fan, so he can watch the Dodgers games. He said he'd pay a little bit extra to be able to watch the Royals for every team, every game. My opinion, and I get where you're coming from, Chris, I'm already paying $150. Give me the Royals as part of it. We're 3 hours away. Like, I'm already paying $150 to watch the Braves, which are, that's my team, and, like, you know, other games or whatever. We're 3 hours away from Kansas City. Don't black us out from Kansas City. That's ridiculous. I understand potentially in the market, like in the actual primary market. But if you're going to do something, if Major League Baseball is like, we have to have blackout restrictions in some capacity, all right, fine. Black out the actual city. Don't black us out 3 hours away. That's ridiculous.
Right. Well, and look, if your baseball, like if you took away the blackouts, you're going to have a bunch more subscriptions. Just take a portion of that to, like, whoever your broadcast partner is, just give them, like, okay, we're going to lift this blackout because it's the right thing to do for our fans. And for the customers who are watching in the blackout zone, like, we'll come up with a formula to kick some of that back to the broadcast partner. Because if you're MLB, like, you're getting more than you would have gotten. And if your concern is your broadcast partner, which I can respect that, then find a way to do it. But what you can't do is have the fan be the last person you're thinking about. And the way we watch baseball right now, that's been the case for a long time. Like, MLB extra innings on DirecTV is not the, that's not keeping up with the times. You have to come up with something, some other way for people to watch unrestricted games. Right. Totally unrestricted. And you don't have, like, a, you know, blacking out somebody on the NFL Sunday Ticket makes sense because they can also, everybody can watch it on regular TV. Right. You get blacked out from watching Chiefs games if you had Sunday Ticket because you can turn on KWCH and watch Chiefs games. With the Royals getting blacked out, like, I don't have another option. And this obscure network that exists only if I have cable, basically. I assume maybe that channel is also on satellite. I don't know. But it's not on YouTube TV, which is what most people watch now, I think. Like, if I don't have that, you got to give me the option. You can't black me out. I can't watch it anywhere else. I'm not taking anything away from anybody. I just won't watch the game. That's what baseball can't do. You can't have it that way. We're going to talk more about the Royals and what they did on opening day. Our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, will join us in just a little bit. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up, especially those of us who had a wine tasting and maybe a little sleepy this morning. We appreciate that, Prairie Fire Coffee. Thanks so much.
Can I tell you a quick Prairie Fire Coffee story? Not really even a Prairie Fire Coffee. I mean, I was going to get coffee. I sent you this picture during the break. In our last commercial break, I went out to go get a cup of coffee here in the Odyssey building. I walk out and I'm getting a cup of coffee, and Kid from Kid and Play is just right there. Like, he's right outside of the hall. I don't know why. I know he's getting interviewed on Power 93.5 right now. I certainly was not expecting to walk out the door and there's Kid from Kid and Play and House Party right there in our lobby.
Some of the great hair of all time. That is fantastic. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily here on KFH on this Friday. Tommy Caster, Jacob Albrock joining us back here in just a moment. Max Power producing the program. I mentioned it before the break. I was curious why Kid from Kid and Play was in our Odyssey building. I was looking it up during the break to try to figure out, you know, like, it's unexpected, Jacob. You walk out of the studio and kid from Kid and Play in the House Party movies, just sitting right there. Apparently, he's doing a comedy show this weekend at Vorshay's Cocktail Lounge.
So I did not know he was a comedian.
I didn't know that either. So shout out to Kid Chris Reed here in Wichita doing that event. And that's why I walk out. You never know who you're going to run into in the hallways of a radio station. And
that's right.
I remember another story. This was long ago, talking about comedians. This was at another radio station. I was walking from my office to the vending machine one afternoon, and I go to the vending machine and the soda machine right next to the candy machine. There's a guy getting a soda, and I look over. It's Bobcat Goldthwait from the Police Academy movies, just like randomly right there. And I'm like, oh my God, like Bobcat Goldthwait is right next to me right now. It's just like random.
To him? Hello, Bobcat.
Yeah. What do you say? And I'm like, hey, how are you? And it's the most like normal voice. Hey, how are you? You know, he like shook my hand or whatever. And I'm like, okay, wow, okay. Not what I expected your actual voice to sound like.
I guess I just expected him for that to be his normal.
Yeah, no,
voice.
That's what I would have thought too. Totally caught me off guard. So yeah, you never know who you're going to run into. So kid from Kid and Play here in Wichita for a comedy show this weekend. Little extra promotion there for that show.
That's awesome. I haven't thought about that head of hair, that flat top. When I was a kid, I always wanted a flat top. Not necessarily like kids,
because
that's impossible for white people. But like, I wanted a flat top,
like an army, like a drill sergeant, type flat. Okay.
Yeah, like a flat top, but a little longer than that, right? Like not like a crew cut.
Yeah, not a high and tight. Like you wanted it.
Yeah. Actual flat top.
You wanted your head to look like a rectangle.
Correct. And I just like, it's not possible. We tried, just doesn't work. So I was always like, kid and play, I'm like, that hair is so cool.
I was kind of the opposite. I wanted my hair so badly as a kid to look like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. So I had my mom buy the mousse. I was putting mousse in my hair. I was parting it. I was doing all these different things to try to get the Zach Morris hair.
Did you bleach it?
I didn't bleach it. I didn't go that far. But my hair was
pretty. Did you ever go highlights?
No.
We were in the highlight era.
I didn't. My hair was pretty blonde when I was younger. So I already kind of had the blondish, type hair. It got darker the older I got. But no, I never did the highlights. I never did the frosted tips. That was never part of my, style.
I mean, I was a towhead blonde when I was a kid.
So was I.
But same. Got a little darker. Yeah. But I did let my sister put highlights in my hair one time in like the seventh grade. And I was like the last to the party. Everybody had already done it or tried it or whatever. It didn't look bad. It didn't look bad. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was
okay. I learned a lesson when I was a kid that, you put too much mousse in your hair. It's hard to move your head as the day goes on because it's just like everything is just like stuck and hard and you can't do anything. And to this day, I don't like putting product of any kind in my hair because of my experiences with mousse as a child.
Well, I will tell you that I have to do that to my hair, to not mousse hairspray, like the cheap, not going to move hairspray is what I have to use every day. Every day I use it. And that's, for being on TV or whatever, it would just be all over the place, a big old fluff ball. So I still am, hair producting, even at my old age. At some point, we'll see if that hair producting turns into hair coloring. I'm getting a little of that going. Like, I just see stare at my hair, and they're like, what is that? But I will embrace it. As somebody, it's weird, because my whole life, I looked younger, like babyface. My whole life. I don't have that anymore. I'm not getting ID'd at the bar anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I kind of miss being the baby face guy. Now I'm going to get all this gray hair and it's like, okay, whatever.
I just looked it up too. Speaking of feeling old, kid from Kid and Play, he's 60. Did you realize he's 60 years old? He's 60. Like, and he doesn't look like it. I mean, so that's why I looked it up. Cause I'm like, oh, he's got to be probably in his late 40s or early. No, dude is 60. So yeah, I feel elderly.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Thanks for indulging with us here on Sports Daily for a minute. I know there are a lot of people out there right now that are listening to this show and are like, oh, I forgot about Kid and Play. That was the coolest hair ever. Man, I remember House Party. What a great movie. We're glad to take you down that memory lane.
Hey, better head out to Vorshay's Cocktail Lounge this weekend. You can see a stand-up show from Kid and Play.
I didn't know he was a comedian. Now I want to look up his stuff. Right? I want to see.
Hey, we're going out for your birthday tomorrow night. Maybe we go see Kid from Kid and Play's comedy show.
Maybe. Maybe swing by Home Depot. I don't know if there'll be enough time. Like, it'll be fun. I'm turning 40 this weekend. Pour one out for me, everybody.
It's gonna be a mess. Like I'm forewarning, and you already know this.
40 going on 25.
It's gonna be a mess of a weekend, but it's gonna be fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'll act like I'm not 40, and I'll regret it on whatever day that is. But it's okay. Tommy has informed me, by the way, as he just had a birthday, that no matter what you do on your birthday, your wife can't get mad at you. I have to tell my wife that still. I'm going to let you explain how that works to her.
To her?
If you could.
Is that going to, am I going to be able to do that? Like, will that work?
Well, I am going to need you to try. I've already gotten the, I'm a little worried about your birthday party because, you know, I'm like, maybe let this be the time you cut me a little slack. And
I think she can, I think it's well within her ability as a wife, clearly, to get pre-mad at you. Like, she can be mad at you now about what's going to happen. She could also probably get mad at you after, like a post-birthday, getting mad at you about what had happened, but she can't get mad at you in the moment of your birthday.
I'm going to let you explain that to her, how that works.
It's just the rules, the way that it works.
Yeah. I will need you to inform her.
You should be immune.
Of these rules.
Especially because, like, for me, like, it was my 39th birthday, so it wasn't a milestone birthday, and I still felt like I can't get in trouble today because it's my birthday. Yours is a milestone birthday. Like, you're turning 40. Like, if there should be any time that your wife catches you some slack and lets you just be an idiot for the weekend, this is it.
Can you write me up a note that I can deliver, please?
I'd be happy to call her. Well, you know what we should do? We should get her on the phone live and talk to her about it.
That's a terrible
idea. I think that's a great idea. Max, I've got her number.
Bad idea.
I've got her. We should do that.
Yeah, no, that's not a good idea at all. She's working, so that wouldn't work anyway.
She can answer the phone for a couple minutes.
You can go say, here's what you should do. You should go visit her at HTO today and explain to her, everybody out there listening. Like, if we could have like 200 people go through HTO and explain to my wife why I can't get in trouble tomorrow, that would be awesome. That would be well worth it. And then if she got mad at me for that little hijink, I could say, I was just trying to get people to come visit the store. You know, so hey, there you go, listeners. If you want to do me a favor on my birthday today, go by. You got a little bit of time left there while she's there, and tell her that I can't get in trouble this weekend. And tell her hi from us here at Sports Daily. All right, let's talk about the Sweet 16 games tonight. We'll have Jalen Thompson in next segment to discuss the Royals. But let's look at these games tonight, Tommy. Let's look at some bets here. We would have been pretty good yesterday, other than Texas Tech. Texas Tech kind of blew all my parlays, but otherwise I was pretty on it. You weren't on it with BYU, but we had Florida, we had Arizona covering. All right, let's look at tonight. Ole Miss, there are money line bets I like tonight. Well, it's Ole Miss. I kind of like Ole Miss on the money line. Man, I might take a swing at Michigan on the money line. 9-point dogs. Michigan's pretty dang good.
They are. They're like, really
Michigan,
good.
Michigan might be the most underseeded team in this tournament, don't you think? They rolled by Texas A&M. You might look at the UC San Diego game. UC San Diego was fantastic this year. Metrically, they were like a top 15 team. So don't look too much into that, but look into how Michigan's like been playing lately. They ran through the Big Ten tournament, right, which included almost a 20-point win over Purdue. They beat Maryland in that tournament. They beat Wisconsin in that tournament. They had games where it was a shootout. They had games where it was a defensive struggle. They blew by Texas A&M. I'm intrigued. I'm for sure taking them +9. And I might take them on the money line tonight.
You know, Dusty May's got them peaking at the right time, which is, you know, extremely important. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that it's a team that's been slept on in the Big Ten this entire season. I don't think that anybody really had super high expectations for what Michigan, you know, could do, at least in the tournament, is concerned. They had a great Big Ten tournament. I mean, obviously they won the whole thing. And I think that being able to get through that juggernaut, they're battle tested for sure. That's a big reason why they've won both of their games so far in the NCAA tournament, is because they are a battle tested team with a coach who has been there before. You know, and that's, I'm a huge Dusty May fan. We've gotten a chance to, you know, watch him up close and personal over the last few years with FAU's run of brilliance and all of that against Wichita State, and just in the American in general and in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, that was the right hire, I feel like, for sure, long term for Michigan. You know, do I think that they'll win a national championship this year? No, but I certainly think that he's got them on a path to be, to have, you know, sustained success in the postseason for sure. I wouldn't be overly shocked if they win tonight. I don't know if I don't think I'm going to take them on the money line. I know I'm not taking them on the money line. I know I'm not taking them on the money line. I don't know yet. I haven't decided if I'm going to take the points. I really
might
Auburn.
Not be good enough.
Yeah,
that might not be good enough for me. I might just take the points. Kentucky, Tennessee. I think people know I love Tennessee. I think Tennessee's awesome, and I love their coach. Mark Pope's done a really nice job at Kentucky. Really nice job at Kentucky. And how sweet will it be for Big Blue Nation if they advance to the Elite Eight and John Calipari did not? But I really like Tennessee, so I'm taking Tennessee -4.5 in that one. Ole Miss, Michigan State. I love Tom Izzo so much as a coach. He's one of my all-time favorites. It just, for whatever reason, doesn't feel like they're as good as their seed to me. Their path in this tournament has been fine. New Mexico gave them a test. Bryant, haven't been tested yet like they'll be tested against Ole Miss. Chris Beard is also really good at what he does at this portion. I think I'm taking the points here.
I think I'm going to take the points as well. And, you know, Ole Miss has proved a lot of people wrong. It's not a traditional powerhouse in college basketball. And think about Ole Miss for a second in the, as you're stacking up the conference, as you're stacking up the SEC, and all of these teams that are at the top of college basketball, you know, got, you know, teams like obviously Auburn, Bama, others. And then you got Ole Miss that, you know, is just kind of there. Like, they don't get the attention, they don't get the respect, they don't get all of that. You know, because they've got, you know, the historically they haven't been a powerhouse program. Chris Beard has come in and made them relevant.
But yeah, he's a powerhouse coach.
He's a powerhouse coach. Right? Like, so if, you've got a powerhouse
if
coach.
You were,
totally.
If we were taking an Elite Eight of coaches at this point, man, he might be in there. Like, just consistently, no matter who he's coaching, he's done it at a million different places now. We know his story. So is Tom Izzo, by the way. Tom Izzo is one of these guys, too. But Beard is really good, and I think the talent difference between these two teams probably isn't super high. And then the other one, Purdue and Houston. Boy, I'll tell you, I don't love that it's 8.5 points. I joked with this with Tim Fitzgerald yesterday. Of all the teams still playing in this tournament, I know absolutely nothing about Purdue. Not a thing. I don't know anything about this year's Purdue team.
Don't you think that's the way Matt Painter prefers it? Because
probably,
when there's been a ton of hype around Purdue, they've fallen on their faces. Like, with the years they had Zach Edey, and everybody expected the world
so
out of Purdue,
about them
they've fallen apart
for so long.
Yeah,
yeah, but we've known Purdue. Like, Purdue has been the most known commodity in college basketball for like 3 years.
Yeah, but that's the Zach Edey effect,
right? And who was there? They had a great guard that for a couple of those years too, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But known
Braden Smith is still there. I mean, Braden Smith is there.
No, that's not what I'm thinking of. I'll remember it at some point. We were just talking about this in the office with TJ Cleland the other day, and we both, like, we looked him up, and it's like, oh yeah, that's gosh dang it, I can't think of his name. Anyway, they've been, and Edey is the biggest reason, yes, but we've known about Purdue for a long time. Now we go into this year's team and I'm like, I don't know anything about Purdue. I don't think I've watched 1 second of a Purdue basketball game all year long. Haven't watched them in the tournament yet. Nothing. I know nothing about them. So when I see 8.5 points, even though Houston is my favorite team in this tournament, and I love them and I think they're amazing, I'm like, 8.5 points in a low scoring game, which this almost certainly is going to be low scoring. The total on this game, Tommy, is 132.5.
Yeah.
It's low, low. 8.5 points is a lot there. So I'll reluctantly take Houston. I love Houston to win the game. I love Houston to win the national title. I just don't know about 8.5 points, and that has nothing to do with Houston. It has everything to do with Purdue.
I think I'm going to take, you know, Houston easily and lay those points. I think it'll be a double digit win for Houston. I mean, I think that they'll be able to flex and get it done. I mean, after the high level game against Gonzaga, I know Gonzaga had disappointed at times throughout the season. They were criminally underseeded as an 8 seed or a 9 seed, whatever they were, 8 seed in the tournament. And, you know, Houston was able to beat them. And Gonzaga looked good while doing it. I think Gonzaga's probably should have been more of like a, I don't know, 5-4-5 seed.
Oh, yeah.
In the tournament, talent-wise.
They just had too many losses.
And that's about where Purdue is also. I think that Houston will have an easier time, honestly, with Purdue than they did with Gonzaga. I've got the Cougars to roll.
Rick scouted them for us. He says they have good guards and a pretty good big man in Kaufman Wren. Thank you, Rick. That actually makes me like Houston. Like guard play, Houston's going to guard play better than anybody. So that's probably a strength on strength and maybe backs it up. All right, Tommy, I'm going to let you take us to break here and tell us about what you got rolling today with our Friday Fit.
Yeah, real quick before I do that, I do want to issue an apology to anybody who decided they wanted to tail my bet last night. Because I came on the show yesterday and said I liked BYU on the money line and the under. And that was wrong and even wronger. Not a good thing at all. Of course, Alabama rolls against BYU last night. And the over like was way, way in play.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Then one other comment I want to get to real quick, and then we'll have Jalen Thompson. And this one more in Jalen's wheelhouse. MLB TV subber Chris, he says he would pay a little extra, $175 one time. Would you pay $25 extra on your subscription, Tommy, to watch the Royals as a part of that?
No, I'm already paying $150. Lift the blackout in Wichita. I'm already paying $150. Let me watch Royals games. I'm 3 hours away from the stadium. I shouldn't have to have two different subscriptions, one to watch all the other teams and one to watch the Royals. That's ridiculous.
That's the part that doesn't make sense. I agree with you. Now we welcome in Jalen Thompson as we transition back to baseball. Jalen, look, it's opening day. It's fine. How was it? Just give it, you know, the vibe of everything now that we're back in the season. No more Arizona. We're back in Kansas City now.
I mean, Kansas City showed up last night for the Royals. I'd say last afternoon. 39,000 fans were in Kauffman Stadium. People were lined up since 9 o'clock in the morning, ready to tailgate and get into the building. It felt like a Chiefs game. I guess you could say that. I mean, I remember walking throughout the concourse maybe 30 minutes before the game. Lines were out the door. It was like an experience for several Royals fans to see their team back in Kansas City. Now the game, it wasn't what the Royals wanted, but you have to remember last year they started 0-2 against the Minnesota Twins and they won the third game and then they went on to the playoffs. So it's a lot of overreaction, but the Royals do have some things they need to clean up for sure.
Let's start with the positive from yesterday, Jalen. Vinny Pasquantino looks healthy. He looks good. You know, obviously that huge 3-run homer, and that wasn't the only thing. He started the rally in the 9th inning also with a double. Was there anything that you saw from him that gives you any kind of concern about his health, or does he look ready to go and good and solid moving forward?
Yeah, Tommy, I think he looks pretty good. Obviously, he just hit yesterday in the DH role. So you still need to see him get onto the field and feel his position at first base. And you really don't know how well the hamstring might hold up when he's fielding his position. So the Royals are just going to continue to take it cautious with him as far as getting him treatment still and allowing him to keep taking drills at first base and just managing the hamstring until he's back to 100%. Remember, he strained the hamstring just a week ago, seven days ago. So a grade one hamstring, you want to be careful with it. But as what he did to play yesterday, I thought it was really cool to see, because that's hard trying to manage an injury and then you have opening day and you make an impact like that. And Vinny handled it well.
So he looks fine. That was kind of where all the offensive production came from. Not a good debut for Jonathan India. If we're blaming yesterday's loss, you can blame it on Zerpa. We kind of think, though, there were too many squandered opportunities offensively. And I don't want to look at things like overreact to one game, but that is going to be like, I don't think the Royals are all of a sudden going to be a leader across baseball in home runs this year. The whole point of Jonathan India is to help manufacture those runs. And that certainly did not happen yesterday.
No, it didn't happen yesterday, but if Jonathan India was still playing in Great American Ballpark, two of those lineouts to left field would have been home runs. So, you know, it's just what you get when you play at Kauffman Stadium. It's a big park. So, but I think Jonathan India is going to hit well for the Royals this year. You know, he showed it all spring, so you know that he has the ability to do that. It's just one game. I think what really stood out to me, though, was you didn't quite get the production that you wanted out of Hunter Renfroe and MJ Melendez, and especially with Renfroe, he didn't look as what he looked like last season in the outfield as far as making a couple plays, pulling off the arm. It just wasn't a good game for him. So he's going to have to correct that if the Royals want to go further, because they're going to need him. They're going to need Melendez. They're going to need Michael Massey and the rest of the middle of that lineup to do damage.
How did you feel about the decisions from Matt Quatrero as far as the utilization in the bullpen, specifically the timing to go to Zerpa? I mentioned this at the top of the show when we were talking about the game yesterday. If it were me, my only critique on it is that after watching Cole Reagan's pitch for five innings, I thought he was okay. I don't think he had elite level stuff yesterday. I don't know if I would have brought Reagan's back out for the sixth inning and then go to Zerpa. I would have rather Zerpa started the inning as opposed to inheriting that runner. And then first pitch, he gives up a home run. Did you have any issue with that? And overall, how did you feel like he managed his bullpen?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting that he did that too. When he had Zerpa get up, I figured that Reagan's was going to be batter to batter. And I thought that Zerpa was probably going to come in for, you know, Manzardo, which he did. But the tough part about that, though, is, yeah, Cole, like you said, Cole Reagan's had 83 pitches. Do you allow him to continue to press forward, or is it because it's early in the season that you kind of just go to your bullpen early? They like what Zerpa can do in those spots, you know, as a guy that's aggressive, that will get after hitters. And you look at some of the splits that Cole Reagan's had against his lefty-righty splits. I understand the decision to do that. But going with Zerpa, and he gave up a hittable pitch, and, you know, he did damage. So I think that going forward, I think the Royals will continue to do that, going to Zerpa and guys like Sam Long and others in those key spots. It just didn't work out on yesterday.
So it brings up an interesting conversation then, Jalen, that we were having, and I think a lot of Royals fans will have. Jalen Thompson, Kansas City Star Royals reporter. What do you do? Do you think that it will be a 7-8-9 that goes Urcig, Harvey, Estevez, or do you think Urcig is deployed a little more utility knife? And if that's the case, who is that other guy? Because either way, no matter how you look at it, like if you want to shorten the game or if you want to do it, they do have to have one more. Is Zerpa going to be looked at as that, or is Zerpa more situational?
I think Zerpa is more going to be the guy that you go in and to bridge the gap between the starters and the bullpen. I think he's going to be like probably the first or second guy up for that role. I think the guy that might be one more would be Hunter Harvey. When you look at what Hunter Harvey did, he looked really great last night. He is someone that the Royals really wanted last
they traded a lot
deadline. They traded for him from the Nationals, and he gave up their number two prospect at the time, Caden Wallace, in a draft position in that draft. So I think that they really like what he can do. He's back from the back strain that cost him the pretty much all of 2024 when he got to the Royals. And I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be important maybe in that eighth inning role like he came in, and Estevez probably be the ninth inning role. But that could just change depending on the matchup. But I think Urcig, like you mentioned, is going to be that guy that's going to move around. If you notice, he was the guy that came in when the Guardians' best hitters were in the lineup. It just happened to be in the seventh inning yesterday. That could be in the ninth inning on Saturday. That could be in the eighth inning on Sunday. But I think he's going to be the guy that, in the highest leverage, you're going to Lucas Irsay because of what he can do with his high velocity and fastball.
Jalen, I think the Bobby Witt Jr. effect was in full swing yesterday. I mean, the guy struck out three times, but he still impacted the game, even when he wasn't having a great offensive production game. I mean, he beat out that ground ball to shortstop, and without him doing that, you don't get the Vinny Pasquantino home run. And so even when it's a down game or not a great game by his standards, he's still impacting the game in a positive way.
Yeah, we talked to Vinny about that, and I asked him specifically about Bobby's infield hit. And he said that he walked up to the plate and he marveled at it. And then he asked Guardians catcher Bo Naylor, have you seen anything like that before? And it was like, it's just insane. So it's pretty crazy to see what Bobby can do when he's able to use his speed for offensive abilities. I think that he had a 30.5 sprint speed last season that led the major leagues. And then on top of that, he worked this offseason to work on his base running ability and being more efficient. And he wants to get more steals and have those steals be more impactful in timely moments. And he did that. He stole second base, and that allowed Vinny to hit the home run. And Vinny actually mentioned it. He said that when Bobby stole second, that allowed him to be pitched differently at the plate, and he got the hanging slider and a curveball, and he hit over the fence. So I think those are things that's going to happen when you put pressure on an opposing team, that mistakes will be advantageous for Pasquantino, Vinny, Salvi, and others. You know,
I want to ask you real quick, Jalen, about all the rumors and the talk regarding the stadium location. John Sherman gave us some insight. I don't know how closely you're following that on the beat or if you're sticking to just the baseball. What is the latest, though, on the stadium and what we might see there?
Yeah, John Sherman, he met with the media on, I believe, Wednesday at the workout. And he was saying that, you know, they're still trying to find a location. They're still trying to finalize things. He said the speculation that's out there, he didn't really give it any credence. He was saying that, you know, things are just a work in progress. So we have to take him at his word for that, and we'll see where the world's going to place the stadium. Obviously, there's a couple options that people are talking about out there. So it's just going to depend on where they feel the most comfortable putting this stadium. Is it going to be in Missouri? Is it going to be in Kansas? It's just going to be something that they have to continue to go through these negotiations. So Sherman didn't necessarily comment a lot on it, but he said that by the middle of the year, hopefully June, July timeframe, they want to have something out there to show, like, I guess, what they're thinking and where they want this thing to be. But for right now, it's just a lot of negotiations going on.
All right. We appreciate it, Jalen. Royals got to take an extra day here. They have the weather thing, so they'll play again on Saturday, a couple of day games this weekend. We'll follow along with you at Jalen Thompson on X at the Kansas City Star. We appreciate it. Next week, we'll have a little more, you know, we'll have a little more to dig through than one game that we want to overreact to, that they blew a lead and went to extra innings and they ended up. We'll have a little more to digest by the next time we talk to you.
I look forward to that. And also, we got to get you guys to a game or something. You can't be paying extra money to not watch the Royals.
I know, right?
We got to get you in person, like, so you can see it.
I'm down anytime.
Yeah, we'll come up. We'll come up. We'll say what's up.
For sure.
Yeah, have a hot dog. All right, Jalen, we appreciate it.
See you. Thank you, guys.
All right, that'll do it. As fun as yesterday was, today's kind of just the same. We don't have Royals baseball, but we will this weekend. You've got more Sweet 16 games. Then we get into the Elite Eight. Hey, we've got the K-State women. They're ready to roll against USC. 1-point spread. You're going to hear that game at 6:30 right here on KFH tomorrow. We'll have Shocker baseball today. By the way, they begin a series with UAB. Got to get them back on track. That's 5:45. They'll also be on tomorrow at 1:45. You'll have the Royals slide over to KNSS. So a programming note there. And then on Sunday, you get Shocker baseball on KFH and the Royals on KNSS as well. So just keep it attuned to those little programming notes and changes, Royals fans, Shocker fans. Tommy, it's going to be great. We're going to have a lot to talk about on Monday.
It's going
to
be awesome. A baseball weekend, college baseball, MLB, it's back. And then we got Sweet 16 and Elite 8 this weekend. It's a blast.
We'll see you Monday.